Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The Liturgical Scripture Readings for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably upon their couches. They eat lambs taken from the flock and calves from the stall. Improvising to the music of the harp, like David, they devise their own accompaniment. They drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the best oils, yet they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. Therefore now they shall be the first to go into exile, and their wanton revelry shall be done away with. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Responsorial Psalm. Praise the Lord, my soul.
Praise the Lord, my soul.
Blessed is he who keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free.
Praise the Lord, my soul.
The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers.
Praise the Lord, my soul.
The fatherless and the widow he sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations. Alleluia.
Praise the Lord, my soul. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. But you, man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you before God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who gave testimony under Pontius Pilate for the noble confession, to keep the commandment without stain or reproach, unto the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the blessed and holy ruler will make manifest at the proper time, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, to whom no human being has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, there was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames. Abraham replied, my child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours, or from your side to ours. He said, then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too become to this place of torment. But Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. He said, oh, no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. Then Abraham said, If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Carla, on this 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, before we hop into the scriptures, I want to let folks know about a feast day on September 29th. That's the feast day of Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, God's messengers, the archangels. Of course, they were provided central portions of in our scriptures. They were executors of divine tasks, and I wanted to just kind of reflect on each of them for just a minute. So Saint Michael the Archangel, whose name means who is like God. Of course, he's best known as the chief commander in battle against Lucifer and his followers. You might remember in Revelations, the war broke out in heaven and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And of course, I think it was Pope Leo XIII who had the Saint Michael prayer that we pray. Gabriel, meaning God is my strength or the power of God. This archangel appeared to Mary to reveal God's plan for the incarnation. And he also made the announcement of John the Baptist's birth to Zechariah. And thirdly, we have Raphael, God who heals, or the medicine of God. And we see him most in the book of Tobit, where Raphael was sent to accompany young Tobias on his journey and protect him from dangers. And they actually used to have three separate feast days, but in the liturgical reforms of 1969, these feast days were combined to honor all three archangels on the same day, which is the 29th. Yeah. So wonderful to pray and ask for their intercession for strength in our lives, that spiritual strength that we're actually going to start talking about in the second reading today.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Well, today we read from the book of Amos again, but in the sixth chapter.
Yeah, and we hear a warning in this reading, and the warning goes out to everyone who has grown complacent and negligent in their duties to God and neighbor. The real issue is not necessarily how much we have. It's more about how we use what God's given us in the way of our time, our talent, and our treasure.
Yeah, and notice that complacency was their undoing. Right? They were rotting away spiritually. They became, I'll call them a smelly spiritual carcass.
Yeah.
and think about it. I like to go backpacking, and I see sometimes two different types of water, right? You're out in there backpacking, you need something to drink, and you come across this stagnant water. It's water that just doesn't go anywhere. It just sits there. It's gross and mucky and usually has a lot of annoying mosquitoes. But if you go to the streams and the creeks, what's different? There's an inflow and an outgo. The water's moving. It's alive. And believe me, it tastes a lot better. We need to be those spiritual streams. So the question is, how alive is our spiritual life? Is our worship purely external? Or do we actively engage our faith life every day? And that's the important question we need to ask today, is how active is our faith life? And St. Paul in the second reading gives us the antidote to spiritual stagnation.
Yeah, St. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy, and this is from the first letter. And St. Timothy at the time was working with the faith community in Ephesus. And it summarizes the duty of baptized Christians. Keep the commandment. And he does this because Timothy was dealing with a lot of troublemakers, you know, wolves in sheep clothing, and they were from within the church. They were leading people away from the church. Now, the first five chapters of this letter, they deal with issues from leaders within the church that were teaching false doctrine and living scandalous lifestyles. And there was just this rampantly growing sinful practices among church members and the unjust treatment of the poor and the vulnerable.
So one question is, how do we develop the muscles of faith, hope, and charity? I mean, all of us probably have this little mental list of woulda, coulda, shouldas. You know, maybe I should have called my mom this weekend, or maybe I should have told a child how much I love them, or maybe I should have gone to help a neighbor even though I didn't feel like it, or maybe I should have started exercising to take care of my body much earlier than I should have. But the thing is, even though we have these woulda, coulda, shouldas, any day we can go choose to work on the basics of developing self-discipline. We start small and then we can grow larger, right? And so there was a quote by the late, great Jim Rohn. He was a wonderful business person, but he said, the smallest disciplines practiced every day start an incredible process that can change our lives forever. So we start with that small little discipline each day. It might be different for every person. Start with a small prayer. Start with a small act of charity. Start with a phone call. Something along those lines. And then as we develop the muscles for those small disciplines and they became habits in our lives, then that's where we can then start building on that and build into larger disciplines. And even just the mundane, the fact that we need to, again, send an email, the mundane of cleaning out the garbage, paying our bills on time. These are the same, I would say, physical muscles that are needed to run our daily lives. We also then need to develop the spiritual muscles to run our spiritual lives. Think about this. We cannot rule a city until we can rule our spirit. We cannot rule our nation or a nation until we can rule ourselves. How important that is. And think about sometimes that spiritual training. You know, some people like to think of, say, life as a marathon. I think there's definite truth to that. I sometimes think that our spiritual life is almost a life of a sprinter. You put time, effort, days, months, even years maybe preparing for that one chance that God gives you to publicly, witness to somebody. The little chance to be someone's helping hand or a helping heart. Sometimes you spend all that time and then you're given those little bits and pieces a chance to really publicly or privately share your faith. Right. So I really like that idea that become spiritually fit in order to come and be that sprinter in times that God needs you to be his witness, his hands or his feet.
Yeah, good point.
Well, we are going to move on to the gospel. Today, this is from the gospel according to Luke.
Yeah, and it is a story about a rich man who dies and goes to hell, not because he murdered or robbed or did violence to others, but rather because of what he did not do. His life was totally immersed in selfishness with blatant indifference to the needs of others. Not even the pitiful Lazarus, who he saw every day, who is camped outside his own home. The rich man died, and from the depths of hell, he called out to Abraham, asking him to send the poor man Lazarus, who was by this time in heaven, to deliver a warning to the rich man's brothers, who are living the same kind of selfish lifestyle that he did. Now, how do we know the rich man's in hell? We know this because the passage tells us there is a great chasm to prevent anyone from crossing from our side to yours. Anyway, Abraham goes on to explain to the rich man. He says, if they will not listen, talking about the rich man's brothers, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, then they won't listen to someone who has risen from the dead. What stands in the way of preventing people from being converted to Christianity is always the same. They already have a God. They're already worshiping that golden calf in their hearts, you know, whether it's rooted in the love of power, the love of possessions, or the love of pleasure. Power, possessions, and pleasure are not necessarily evil, but when a person is possessed by selfish desire, when their hearts and minds are occupied only by the selfishness of pursuing their desire, which is means that they're neglecting God, they're neglecting their families, they're neglecting their community obligations, that's when it becomes sinful. God reveals truth to each person in a unique way, perfectly tailored to meet their own ability to grasp it. But we can't grasp anything when our hearts are already full of sinful, selfish desire. And when our hands are clenched shut in fists of defiance, because God won't force himself onto anyone. And that includes the choice to spend an eternity with him in heaven. He won't force that on anyone. So in the end, just as with the rich man, it's our choice.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Modern Day Radio. For more information about this show, go to moderndayradio.com. That's MATEREI radio.com.